Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Robert Ratner. I'm Chief Scientific and Medical Officer for the American Diabetes Association, and it's my pleasure to moderate this press conference all about a unique and new program that the American Diabetes Association is launching called the Pathway Initiative. This will provide funding for innovative, out-of-the-box, game-changing research. It's a very different program, and we want to take this opportunity to explain the program to you and to let you know what we expect of it. I'm joined today by Dr. Mara Darso, Vice President of Research Programs at the American Diabetes Association, and Dr. John Anderson, President of Science and Medicine for the American Diabetes Association. We are hopeful that Dr. Ron Kahn will also be joining us momentarily. The idea behind Pathway is to identify the most creative thinkers in a whole variety of different areas, to bring their expertise and their creativity to the diabetes arena. We need to find innovative approaches to deal with the epidemic that is diabetes. Before beginning the presentation, I do want to let you know that we are audio taping this briefing. We do have journalists on the phone, and for that reason, I'd like to remind all of our presenters that it will be critically important to speak into the microphone so that our phone participants will be able to hear your comments. For the journalists on the phone, if you have questions that you would like to ask of our presenters, please let the operator know by pressing *1 on the telephone keypad. As time permits, we'll do our best to address all of your questions during this session, and I'm sure you can find representatives from the ADA to answer them afterwards as well. As a final housekeeping note, we will be entertaining questions and answers after all of the presentations. It's my pleasure now to introduce our first speaker for the press briefing, Dr. Mara Darso, Vice President of Research Programs at the American Diabetes Association. Mara?
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you all for being here. So this meeting really demonstrates the power of research for people with diabetes. You come here and you see these presentations and you see the advances that are made and you can see the impact that has on the care of people with diabetes. However, due to various circumstances in the environment, the funding for diabetes research just has not kept pace with the prevalence of this disease. And so as a consequence of this, we're really losing a whole generation of researchers in this field. So our Pathway Initiative is really an initiative to address this. It's our answer to this problem. And I want to take a few minutes to just describe what this program intends to do. First of all, as Bob said, it's a very innovative program. It's very different from what we have done in the past with research. It's looking for a new generation of brilliant researchers and trying to attract them to the field of diabetes research. And how we're planning to do this is, first and foremost, to provide them with what they need to do the most transformative research possible. And part of that is a significant amount of funding over a sustained amount of time. So these grants are $1.625 million, and they are for a time period of 5 to 7 years. And this is really an unprecedented level of support. And people that have this kind of support can really do a tremendous amount of work with those resources. The other piece of this is that the support is extremely flexible, and it's not tied to particular outcomes in terms of a specific project. It's tied to outcomes in terms of progress, and we'll describe that a little bit more in a minute. We feel that investing in these brilliant researchers is going to really lead to dramatic and transformational changes in the progress that we can make in the field. The other ways that this program is different from typical granting programs is that there's a strong mentorship component and there's also a strong collaboration component, which Dr. Ratner will speak to in a moment in more detail. And the other piece that is different from traditional grant funding programs is that we're trying to target people at very particular places in their career, places where they're extremely creative and motivated and are having difficulty in the current environment establishing themselves. So there are two places that our grants are targeting. One is very early career when people are still in their training phase, and they're looking to begin an early faculty position. So we're asking them at that point where they're making that critical decision of what they're going to spend the rest of their career doing to choose diabetes. And so these grants are transition grants that will support them through that transition phase. The second area that we're trying to target are people who are new to diabetes research. They can be established in any other field of research. And we want them to try diabetes research for the first time and apply their knowledge and expertise to that field. So the two grant mechanisms target those two populations of people, and we feel by bringing these kinds of people to the field, we're going to really bring new perspectives and creative new approaches to the problems of diabetes. So I think it's also important to note, as Bob mentioned in his introductory comments, that these grants are available to people in all different areas of research, everything from basic to clinical to epidemiological to behavioral research approaches and even technology. And we're really hoping to attract people from very different places than we normally get researchers to come to diabetes. So we're looking for engineers and physicists and mathematicians in addition to our biologists and chemists and physicians. So with that, I will turn over to Dr. Ratner to speak for a moment about the critical component of mentorship and collaboration that are also an important piece of this program. Thank you.
For those of you who were at the Banting Lecture, you noticed that Dr. Bell put up pictures and names of the people who significantly impacted his career and guided him to the fine research that he did that was ultimately recognized with the Banting Award. Mentorship is a critical piece of growing within medical research. To have the guidance, to have the expertise, to have someone to bounce ideas off of, someone to give you an approach that can help solve the problems that you have to face in doing the research. We realized very early on that if we're going to be taking young people with potential, we have to give them all the support and all the contacts that we possibly can. Instead of having a single mentor in a laboratory or in an institution, we've brought together over 20 of the brightest minds in diabetes to serve on our mentorship advisory group. Dr. Ron Kahn from the Joslin Clinic and Harvard Medical School is the chair of that committee. As you look at the composition of the committee, it's impressive that, number one, you don't see a monolithic approach. We have cell biologists, we have immunologists, we have epidemiologists, we have behavioralists, we have clinical physiologists, we have clinical trialists. The idea is to have, Dr. Kahn. Come on up. I've just started to describe the mentorship advisory group, but I will leave it to you to go into the details.
Sorry, I'm a few minutes late. I was down at this exciting meeting, so I hope you are all also picking up on some of the excitement at the meeting. So I'm sure that Dr. Ratner already explained the program, this new pathway program, but I want to say a couple of things before I describe the advisory group about why we who do diabetes research think this is such an important new initiative of the ADA. Really, the important aspect of science, which I think many people don't really fully understand, is how important it is to launch new people into careers of research, because they bring with them new ideas, new approaches, and ultimately what will make the breakthroughs possible that all of us want for type 1 and type 2 diabetes, and for all the special needs that are associated with diabetes. And so what the ADA is doing in this is really making a major investment in young people who are launching their careers and who are trying to accelerate their careers to become not just the leaders or successful researchers, but really bring breakthrough discoveries. And this is a very, very important new initiative. As part of this new initiative, what we have assembled is not only a mechanism for funding these grants, but a mechanism for advising or mentoring these younger scientists. And we've put together a panel of really outstanding diabetes researchers that cover both basic and clinical research, that cover issues related to type 1 diabetes and autoimmunity, beta cell replacement, cover type 2 diabetes in terms of insulin action, insulin resistance, cover related problems related to obesity and metabolic syndrome, cover complications of diabetes, such as the macrovascular complications affecting large blood vessels that feed the heart and the limbs and the brain, and small blood vessels that feed the kidney and the eye, where we have problems, as well as the nerve. So this is really a group of very experienced and in many cases very distinguished scientific advisors who will not just provide scientific advice, because that's part of our role in this mentoring group, but part of our role is also to help these younger scientists to really launch their careers in a way that will be most effective in their success. And let me say that their success is our success, because if they succeed in doing interesting, creative, novel research, this is where new ideas come, where new information comes, and ultimately where the information will make an important impact on the therapy of the disease. So I'm very excited about this new initiative. I think that it's something that, it, particularly at a time when NIH funding is under a lot of stress through the budgetary restrictions of the federal government, more important than ever that we have these initiatives. And I'm really proud to be a part of it, and proud to also help the ADA in this initiative.
Ron, could you address some of the issues of how the applicants will be picked, and how do you see the interaction of the mentorship advisory group with the scientists who are ultimately awarded the pathway scholarships?
Right. So the way this program is going to work is that each institution, and an institution could be a hospital, it could be a medical school, it could be a research center, but basically each institution is allowed to nominate only one person for one of these awards. So already internally, the institution has to make a judgment. I'm at the Joslin Diabetes Center. We have 35 faculty and 120 to 150 research fellows, and we get to pick one to nominate out of that pool of 150 people for this type of award. So that already it's going to be very selective from any institution. Those nominations will come to actually to the mentoring committee, which will also serve as the reviewing committee for these applications. And we don't know exactly, but we estimate that there might be, let's say, 100 applications, and we're going to only, this year at least, be able to fund maybe a half a dozen of these. So it's going to be very selective, even at that level, to get those first applicants picked. Once we do this, then there's going to be this process of not only having them do their research, and they're going to be from all over the United States, and the committee is likewise dispersed all around the United States. Some of us will be in cities where some of these candidates that are being funded are working, but many of us, I'm sure, will be not in the same cities, and there may be candidates in cities where there are no mentors directly there, but we will work both through phone and also through, at least from my understanding, we're going to have actually sort of two opportunities a year to meet face-to-face. One will be at the ADA meeting itself, where we're going to have a special sort of a sub meeting of this group, and then probably one time a year in addition to that, we're going to bring this group together to try to have both a scientific interchange among the recipients of the award with each other, with the mentors and different types of advisory sessions. So I think that this is going to add to, of course, most of these people are already, as I say, at universities and institutions where there are other faculty, senior mentors. So this will add to that pool. And I think this is going to be an important addition because sometimes it's good to get advice from somebody a little bit, let's say, distant to your direct mentor. There's, you know, it's not like we have to provide them more space or something. We can say, you need more space and try to help them get more space that way. So I think that this is going to be an important addition. We were very thoughtful, Dr. Ratner, myself, and a couple of the others who really worked on the early part of this program were also very, we try to be very thoughtful in picking the mentoring committee to be people that we know are really very good at this. They're very good because they not only have succeeded themselves, but they're the kind of people that make good teachers, make good role models, that really show the range of activities that we want to see in somebody who's going to become, we hopefully believe, the stars of the next generation.
Fabulous. Thank you, Ron. It's now my pleasure to introduce Dr. John Anderson, the President for Science and Medicine of the American Diabetes Association. John?
Thank you. I don't have to tell most of you in this room what an enormous diabetes epidemic we have in the United States, but just to refresh your memory, nearly 26 million people in this country have diabetes, and the recent cost numbers show that it's costing our country $245 billion a year, and that's a 41% increase over the last 5 years. When you analyze those increased costs, almost all of that is due to the increased prevalence of the numbers of people with diabetes. And if the current trends continue by 2050, you're talking about one in three Americans having diabetes at some point in their lifetime, and that's just simply unacceptable. So our mission at the American Diabetes Association is to prevent and cure diabetes and to improve the lives of all people affected by diabetes. This pathway program is an important step in that right direction. And I want to be clear, this pathway program to stop diabetes represents an expansion of the association research efforts. This is in addition to all of the funding of research that we already do. So these are going to be very complementary programs as we look for these young researchers. It's also an innovative approach, as you've heard from both the previous speakers, because we're going to allow people the freedom to pursue their experimentation and explore their ideas wherever the science leads them, which, as you may know, in the scientific world, that may take you in unexpected directions. And it's what she said, Mara did, but we're funding the person, not necessarily the project. It's also a new level of engagement for the organization with the research community. As Dr. Khan said, we're going to be working with these universities who will nominate their best candidates to the program and then provide the scientists that we fund with very, very strong institutional support. And then, of course, the mentor advisory group is going to assist in identifying and provide ongoing support to these scientists. And as you've heard before, we want to bring that whole entire next generation of scientists into the field of diabetes. Finally, I can't express enough the thanks of this organization for a group of visionary donors and companies who've made the Pathway Program possible. And their ongoing support is going to be required to make the program strong and sustainable. It's being launched with more than $7 million in generous donations from individuals and $20 million in funding corporate support. And I want to thank Sanofi, I want to thank Novo Nordisk, and I want to thank the Eli Lilly and Company Foundation. They have made it possible for Pathway to get started, and they underline the importance of strong community collaboration for accomplishing our mission. As I discussed this morning in my address, people choosing careers in research and healthcare face many challenges, and we need them now more than ever to stop diabetes. With Pathway, we want to draw attention not only to the importance of this field, but also to the opportunity to make their contributions as a whole to the diabetes community.
Thank you, John. As a reminder, this is being audiotaped, so please use the microphones in the audience for your questions, and again, for our panelists to respond. For those of you who have questions, we have two mics wandering around the room, and when you ask your question, please introduce yourself and let us know what venue you're representing. So with that, the panel is open to questions. Well, let me start. Mara, is there a basis for the kinds of awards that Pathway is giving? Is there any other experience around the world with this type of an approach?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you. This program, we believe, is truly unique in that it combines kind of the best of a lot of good examples of that have been very successful in doing this type of thing. So in the U.S., the Howard Hughes Medical Association has a similar approach to funding research where they select researchers and give them a significant amount of money to pursue whatever fields that they choose. And they've been extremely successful in this and, in fact, are really a well-known and well-respected institution and have wonderful outcomes from the people that they support. Another example that I think is really pertinent are the MacArthur Genius Awards that are, again, you know, just give us your best idea and here's the resources that you will need to see if that idea can be translated into something. And so those are two really good examples, I think. This is a little bit different in that it's specific for diabetes research. But it does provide those same sort of flexibility and freedom for the researchers to pursue whatever paths they come across. And as Dr. Khan referred, you know, the mentorship and the collaboration are really part of that. That's unique as well in terms of making sure that while we give them a lot of freedom, they also have the required support that they need to do the transformational work that we expect that they will. And we do really feel like this program could potentially be identifying the next Bantings and Bests and Nobel Prize winners. I mean, that's really the outcome that we're looking for. We want to find the next generation of people that are leading this field.
Hi, I'm John Agos with Sanofi, and as you know, we're very proud of being part of this wonderful Pathways initiative. We hear so many great things about it as the months and weeks go on. So the question is, as you look at the first 20 million, what is the scope of number of researchers that would fund, and what do you anticipate year two and three down the road?
Right. Thank you. So our big goal is to fund 100 new researchers in the next decade. And right now, with the money that we have in the bank, we are able to fund 5 researchers for the next 3 years, so a total of 15 researchers. And another unique idea behind this program is that we are not going to support researchers that we don't already have money to support for the full length of their grants, because we want them to be absolutely guaranteed that the money is there and available for them. But with continued success in fundraising, we hope to be able to get up to 100 in the next decade.
Thank you. Danilo Verche is my name. Like Sanofi and Lily, I'm from Novo Nordisk, actually, and like them, we're very proud to also be part of this. My question is, can you share with us to what degree the application process has advanced, and when do you expect to have the first awardees?
So the call for nominations opened in March, and it will remain open through the summer and close on August 16th. And so while we haven't got a count of how many applications we'll get, as Dr. Khan said, we're expecting somewhere in the 100 range, and we're getting a lot of interest from the community for certain during this time. But at this point, a lot of the institutions are in the middle of their selection process, and so we'll know at the end of August how many grants we've received.
So just as an addendum to that, I have two anecdotes that I can share with you in talking to representatives of a major university on the East Coast and a major university on the West Coast. They've already put their panels together to review the applicants. The one on the East Coast had 9 nominations internally. The one on the West Coast had 10 nominations internally. And then they had to come up, as Dr. Khan said, with one to move forward. So those two institutions have now identified their representative or their nominee. And we're expecting most medical schools, most research centers to be responding to the RFA. Do we have any questions from the phone? Dr. Anderson, how do you see the pathway scientists integrating in with the other aspects of both research and professional education within the American Diabetes Association?
Well, I think that's part of this mentoring that we're talking about. We want these scientists engaged in the community. We're going to give them the opportunities to speak, to teach, to share at symposia, and have this as a real public collaboration between the programmatic part of the American Diabetes Association and what they're doing as scientists. So they're going to be given a lot of opportunities as their research advances to share with the community as a whole what they're accomplishing.
Dr. Khan, in terms of the selection of the scientists, how do you see the mentorship advisory group functioning differently than an NIH study section?
Well, this is going to be, I think, a very challenging selection process, in part because, as many of you know this, there are three categories of nominees. So some of the nominees will be people still in fellowship training who have not had their first individual grant. Some will be people who are already junior faculty who have individual grants but have only gotten, let's say, one individual grant. And some might even be scientists who are more experienced, who are working in other fields, who want to see an opportunity to do something in the diabetes field and make this as a bridge between their current work and a diabetes-related project. So I think that one of the challenges that we're going to have in the review process, which we haven't yet faced up to, I must say, because we don't know what the nominees are going to look like till we get there. Since each institution can only nominate one, and that's not one in each category, it's one, so they have to themselves pick among the three categories, we don't know how the nominees, or what type of pool of nominees we're going to have. How many will be still in this senior fellowship arena, how many will already be launched but need the accelerator type of grant, and how many might fall into this transitional award. I think that once we see these numbers, we'll get a better idea maybe a little bit about how we're going to address the review process, which I think is going to obviously have to find ways to balance people at different stages of their careers. Obviously somebody who's just starting won't have as much experience, won't have as many publications, won't have the track record as somebody who's already launched or somebody who's who's more senior but yet in another area. So I have a feeling we're going to do both a scientific review of the areas, certainly a review of trying to decide, if you will, who are the most exceptional candidates in each of these categories, sort of what we like to call the best athlete in the field, and then trying to find the right balance of investment, if you would, from the number of grants we can give to decide whether we'll give three in one category, two in the other, one of the third, or some different balance. But I do think it's going to be a really interesting process of review, which I'm anticipating it will be quite different than a typical grant review where you focus so much on the specifics of the project, and here we're focusing so much on what we believe the potential of the person to be. Obviously, the project is important, but the person is even more important. And that's going to be a real interesting experience, which will be a little bit different than I think any previous review that I've participated in.
Any other questions from the audience? Any other comments from the panel? Well, on behalf of the American Diabetes Association, we are really very excited to start on this new pathway to cure to stop diabetes. And we hope and we expect that we're going to be hearing from this first group of scientists who will be identified probably late November or in December of this year. They're going to be the leaders in diabetes research moving forward. And the association is thrilled to be able to play a part in their grooming and in their success. And we look forward to the results that they generate in years to come. Thank you for your attendance.